Now go to Joshua 1:1, please, and we'll start the word today. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to read a long way, so you might want to go there. Joshua 1:1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are leading us and guiding us in everything that we do. Thank you, Jesus. Gosh, there's so much to say, but I'm just going to see if I can walk right through this without bunny trailing a lot. After the death of Moses, Joshua 1:1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong. Everybody say, be strong. And of good courage. Say, good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to give their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Praise God for the reading of the word. Amen. Now, Joshua is about to lead Israel into the promised land. So they're going home. And they are, so we can say, yeah, this is a going home message. Can you tell? So they're receiving their promise. And we see God giving Joshua some first of alls. These are the first of alls. And so here's what you're going to do, he's saying. This is what you need to do. You will not let the word depart out of your mouth. Think about it. Out of your mouth, it said. You'll meditate the word day and night, and that will bring you success, it says. Now, we've read this 1,000 times. We've meditated on this verse many, many times. We know these scriptures. I just want you to get it fresh again. Your mouth. I just wish everybody was here today. Because we all need this, including myself. Okay, everybody said, yes, you do. Pastor, you really need that. I do. Meditation is not just thinking. There's a reading, there's a pondering, there's a saying, but there's a saying out loud. God told Joshua, don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of your mind. Ponder, meditate on the day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it, and then you're going to have good success. But it wasn't just in the mind, it was in the mouth. I was just reading you a different translation. But you can't let this go. You can't let the promises of God go. You can't let the word of God go. Now, and this doesn't mean that every day all you're going to do is walk around being a Bible talking. But this means that you get scripture in your thoughts and that you do take time somewhere in your life to confess the word every day. Yeah. Amen. So that's why all of these things that I gave you, the confessions, they're all scriptural. Right. I just put them in, Texas talk, I guess. Praise the Lord. So the title of the message today is Programming Your Spirit for Success. We want to program your spirit for success, because in these days, in these this awakening, and I believe we're entering into the second phase of the awakening. I believe we've had a little shaking. I believe we're waking up. And I believe now we're going to start seeing more power, more success, more people wanting God. What I've seen, church, it's so unique. I mean, you know, we've been in this for a long time. And remember what I was telling you about? We don't want to think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as just a time when you said, yeah, 1976, on April the 8th, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, so I'm good. You know, no, you keep getting refreshed all the time. You keep receiving an outpouring all the time because we leak, right? But we were talking about exactly, just lost my earring there. We were talking about exactly what people were doing right now. People are either getting saved or they're asking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. People are like, What do you want? Like, remember I was telling you about LaDonna? Yeah. And she said, this guy, who he's a movie maker, and he just says, I just want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's not about teaching people to talk in tongues. It's about they really get baptized enough that they do get into their prayer language. So there's this level of going on. There's a repentance. And there'll be a reform as well. People will start living their life different and start saying, you know, it's wrong for all these babies to die. Yeah. It's wrong for some of these ideas that they're putting all the alphabet together for. You know, things will change. Now, I love people. I love all people. Everybody's welcome here. I don't care. I love people. You can have green toenails. I don't care. But there are still things in the Bible that are true. And we have to please God and not man. But I'm telling you, in this awakening, there will be such a touch from God and an anointing from God flowing from these portals around the United States that you are literally going to see people just want to do what's right. Hey, back in the awakenings, the bars actually closed down. Yeah. Somebody said, oh no, where am I going to go? I guess you'll have to go to church. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, praise the Lord. I was just playing around. Now, so success, church, comes from the inside out. It's not going to be, well, if pastor would just recognize me, I could be somebody. It's not, if my boss would just promote me. It's going to come from in you. It's always going to come from inside of you. That's where your success is. Amen. So we need to know who God is, and we need to know what he's really like, and he is good all the time. And then we need to know who we are. And then we need to know what God has done and what he will do. And I love what my mentor, Lynn Hammond, said. She said, if you want to know what God will do, just look at what he's done. Come on. So you just get to know him, and you'll be able to see who he is. And he's always done good. And now, you know, you understand that in the Old Testament, sometimes he gets a bad rap. It looks like he was doing some things. But if you'll go back and learn the translations and what's right, you're going to find out that God has always been good. And, you know, I have to say something about that in everything I teach. Amen. Now, we need to know our part, because we're all going to have a part. And the major part in this awakening is actually praying, declaring, and confessing, and receiving. Using your faith like a tool. Amen. Those are your parts. It's not you trying to earn God's love. He's done everything. You don't have to earn anything. We're not in legalism. We don't have to earn God. We don't have to try to stay saved. We're God's children. Last time I checked, I'm still my mama's kid. I'm still my daddy's kid. Sometimes they may have wanted to throw me out of the family, but I made it. One basic thing to know then, one basic thing is to know that you're in because of the grace of God. But on top of that, church, you are a doer of the Word of God. We are called to be doers in all the things that I just mentioned. You have corresponding action according to what the Word says. So you say, well, you know, it was in the Old Testament that they said to meditate the Word. Well, I believe you can find that in the New Testament. Paul said, study to show yourself approved of God. Didn't he? Same thing. It's the same thing. And he said, don't be moved from your profession or your confession of faith.
Right.
You remember that scripture as well. So whichever, it's still the truth. Now, like I said, it doesn't mean you're stopped living. Hold it, I just have to stop. And it just means that you have it on your heart, you have it on your mind. And somewhere, whether you're driving in your truck, throwing the line out, which is works for you, doesn't it? Doing whatever it is you're doing in life, you take time to meditate on the promises of God and get them coming out of your mouth. And you need to listen to this like it's all new again.
Yeah.
Now, so going into the promised land looked daunting to them. There were giants. Everything looked good, but there were giants. But God said it was theirs. Maybe that's what we need to keep on our heart. But God says. Because a lot of times, like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do this. Maybe I want to go do this over here. But what did God say? What did God say to do? And so you'll have to hear him. And so one of the ways you'll be able to hear God is the Word's like a magnet in you. And when you have the Word in here, then you can hear Holy Spirit too.
That's good.
Is this the truth? Amen. That was free. Now, so God said they would have success. For us, we also are having success. And we also need a plan for success. So we must understand how to strategize and walk into our promises, reap our harvest, and obey the unctions of the Holy Spirit. We do these things. We have the mind of Christ. We can strategize. We can work on this. We can get into these things. But you can't do it on information. Information alone won't help you. Adam lived on revelation. Now, you know, I mean, he could download. He could just think like God. That's going to be cool when we can do that again. Amen. But the serpent fed him information. He was living on revelation. The serpent said, if you come eat some information fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, then you'll become like God. That's what he said. Come here and eat some information fruit. But the only thing was, is Adam was already like God. And so the devil was deceiving him. So, you know, just eat some information and just information and then you'll be different. But what we need is revelation. Nothing wrong with information now, but I'm just saying that revelation is always going to trump it. Amen. So the lost world lives on just information. But since you're brought back to the Spirit of life and you're alive in your spirit, you can live on this revelation above information. And the way you feed that is meditation. That could be a song. Revelation above information by meditation. We'll work on that. Okay. So now, okay, not that good, but it was interesting. Now, not all, like I said, not all information's bad. But revelation's always higher. So the thing about revelation and about this word is according to the scripture itself, it will prosper wherever it's sent. So if you send it from mouth to heart, if you send it from mouth to heart, it's going to prosper your spirit. Okay? So your heart picks it up and it begins to program for success. Oh, we are success. Oh, wait a minute. I am the body of Christ, and Satan has no power over me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I overcome evil with good. I'm accepted in the beloved. Oh, I am accepted in the beloved. And you begin to get this awareness. Oh, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul. Oh, I can prosper. I can be in good health. I just need for my soul to prosper. How's my soul going to prosper? Meditate day and night on the Word of God. That's how it's going to happen. That you don't go away from it. It'll get in there, church. Now, the reason why, you know, back in the early days, Lynn, you might even remember this. This is kind of funny. There was a couple that came. Oh, they must have just come twice. Real sweet people. But they said, now, are we going to have to do that confession stuff? I said, well, it's what we should do according to the Word. They were out of there. They just wanted some miracles, you know. I don't know if you remember that, but it was funny. Sweet people, I don't think I ever saw them again. They may have moved away or whatever. But I just remember thinking, but this is the key. This is the key, and you, this is not what Brother Hagin made up, or Brother Copeland made up, or what we made up. This is what God said. Okay, and so we have to do that, and so, or we should want to do that. And so one of the things that we do is you make confessions, but you also need your conversation to line up with the confession. They can't be two different things. I declare, man, things are just a... Now, church, if you can build this thing and start getting up there 70-80% of your conversation getting matching your confessions and matching the Word of God, you're going to have a lot of success. But we can't make you do it. So you see people that are old in the faith that never have any success because they can't seem to dump that conversation. And we all need tweaking. I certainly do. I'm going to go back to some old days here, okay? I told Lynn, I said, I'm glad you're here. I'm going to preach something about, I used to preach in the old days. Brother Copeland, painting. And he said, they did this with each other. That's your confession, and I believe every word of it. Remember that? And he's painting, and he says, this paintbrush is falling apart. And it went, boom, and fell apart. And Gloria had just said, as a confession, I believe every word of it. They laughed and laughed and laughed about that. But that's true. It's a truth that you're going to have what you say. Jesus said it. It's true in all the rest of the scriptures. So I want to ask you, can I just needle you for just a moment? Will you take it? When are you going to do this? Because now in this awakening, it's time. Yes. It's time. It is. It's time to go ahead and get what your family needs, what this church needs, what the people in the world need, what America needs. It's time. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil will take whatever you'll give him. He'll go as far as he can. He'll take whatever you'll give him. You've got to stop him. And you've got to get on the offensive side and get him out of the way. But if you give him a little bit with some words, he'll take it. If you give him some complaining, that's as good as confession in his camp. Man, you should have said amen on that. I'm telling you, if you complain, that's as good as confessing on the devil's side, because he'll take that and he'll run with it. If you rehearse the situation, I'm just going to go ahead and get on you right now. Now, if you rehearse over and over and over your situation, you have built a stronghold that is not going anywhere until you start going the other way. Yep. Remember Charles Capps? So this was just kind of like this miracle thing. So he comes on the Victory Channel, but we didn't watch him. I love him, but we just didn't watch him and Annette. Okay. So I'm walking through the house and I see Deb coming from her house side. And I said, Deb, you know who I just felt I was supposed to listen to today? She said, who? I said, Charles Capps. She says, I was just in there listening to him. I mean, you had to go find it and listen to it. It wasn't just on. So I took the cue. So I went back and listened some more. And it's just that good old stuff, that old stuff that we learned years ago that helped us so much. And if you remember, he was this very successful farmer. And he got involved with a Christian businessman and he failed. The guy failed, left Charles responsible for the whole bill. So then Charles feels like a failure and starts saying, I can't do anything right. I just can't do anything right. I blah, 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 just can't do anything right. And now all of a sudden his farming business starts failing. He can't plant the seed deep enough. He can't plant it shallow enough. This didn't work. That, and it just all starts blowing up on him. And so he goes out and prays and says, well, you know, Lord, what am I doing? And, The Lord said something to this effect. Maybe y'all can help me. He said, the Lord said something like this. I sure would appreciate if you'd quit telling me what the devil said could happen. Yes. It's those kind of words. Yes. What the devil said could happen. And he went, well, that's right. That's all I'm doing is talking what the devil would say would happen. I'm, you know, all those things. So when you're complaining, or you're talking hate, or you're talking judgment, or you're talking any of those things, you're just giving the devil room. But if you're talking, hey, I walk in love, I'm blessed, I'm prosperous, and you begin to say the things that the word says, and you quit critiquing and criticizing, and listen, we all came from there. I remember driving home from churches and saying, well, let me tell you what I liked about their service. It's not necessary. It was their service. It wasn't mine. I love Brandon Holler. Brandon Holler said, we were all at a service one time. There's kids running in and out our legs while we're trying to preach and everything. And Brandon linked it. Me and Deb, we were all sitting on the front row. And he said, it's not our service. And not another word was mentioned about it, you know. What went wrong? What went right? What went wrong over here? What went wrong over there? What was wrong with the last conversation you had with someone? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. All that matters. Well, it's quiet in the house. I guess I better move along. Praise the Lord. So what we don't want to do is counteract the declarations that we've made. So we've sown coming home seed. We've sown lots of seed. But what we want to be saying is things that agree with our harvest. I have a harvest. I have, I'm telling you, I'm going to prophesy to you right now. You better get your sights up. You better get your sights up because this is going to be like nothing you've ever seen. This is the former and the latter rain together. Well, you've been telling us that for years. I have, and it's here. It's here. They prophesied this stuff in the 70s. They prophesied it in the 50s. They prophesied it a long time ago. But we're here. We're here. And you better get your sights up because this is big. And you better just go ahead and reap your harvest. You better reap your health. You better reap your joy. You better reap your kindness. You better reap everything that God has for you because you're going to want it as you walk through these next days because they're going to be glorious. People said after the dead thing, that's what we call it here, the plague. They said, oh, will things ever be the same again? They will not. They will be better. They will be better. Because we're standing up in our authority, making our confessions, and America will be greater glory. Not just greater again. Not just great, but greater glory. God loves America. And God loves you. And He wants to see you succeed and work in these things. So what we do is we speak the end result that we want. It's not a lie. People used to go, well, I think I'm lying when I do that. No, you're superseding the word over what you say. On what could be said about you. Well, they said, my heart's out of rhythm. Well, the word says it's beaten to the rhythm of life. Well, I'm not going to get my paycheck. What are we going to do? Well, God says in the scripture, you don't have to depend on paycheck. You depend on the kingdom of God by your giving. You know, so, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, that's your confession. I believe every word of it. Would you like to go to the convention? Well, I would like to, but I just don't see how. Well, congratulations. You're not going. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just trying to tell you how this thing works. If you're all on the doctor said, doctors are good. You need to know what they said, but you better know what the word says above what they say. Thank you, Jesus. So this confession is important. So we don't counteract. We speak as if every word we would say is going to come to pass. So when you go to work tomorrow, well, now what are they going to do today? Who's going to cause trouble today? Well, you're setting yourself up right there. Amen. You're going to have what you say. You're ready for it, aren't you? Don't call
the dog if you want the cat.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for 19 years of that saying. Okay, now, Hebrews 10:23 says this, hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful has promised. So if you'll hold fast to it and don't give up, you're going to get it. And if there's some things that you may think, the devil's threatened and said, well, this could happen, this could happen. Keep your mouth shut about that. If you don't let it out, there's no power. You're the one. The devil has no power, church. He's already been defeated. He has to use a person and get them to use their declarations, and then he can use it. He is powerless. Like, aren't you afraid of the devil? No. No, I'm not afraid of the devil. He's been rendered powerless by Jesus. He can only come in with deception, talking to your mind, and when he gets you to say it, the sower sows the word. And then if you water that word with, well, I guess we won't, then you're going to have what you say. But I'm determined not to go that way. I'm determined that after 30-something years here, almost 40, I guess, I'm going to get this confession conversation thing down better than ever before. And I'm not bad at it. I have a pretty good success record. But I want to have some more. And I want you to have it too.
Amen.
Now, those of you that are over 50, three of you, I guess, about in here. Watch yourself. You've been on this earth a long time. Well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. See, that's a confession. You can change any habit. They say in 21 days. I've experienced that. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can. It's this. You don't want to. First LC, book of LC, verse 1. People do what they want to. That's our mama who moved to Montana. Mama of the house here. You don't want to bother to do that. But it takes the same amount of time to say something good as it does to open your mouth and blah, 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 blah. It takes the same amount of time, the same amount of time. Somebody said silence was golden. Maybe that's the best way to go until you can say what's right. No, you don't have to talk all the time. You could ask someone how their day's going. Well, I don't know. Watch out for that, too. You could say, what's your life? No, that's not a good one either. So tell me your story and hope that it's not a four-hour testimony. Praise the Lord. Care about what others have to say. It's so good to see you. There we go. Praise the Lord. Now, so I really want you to understand that the devil will take what he will if you let him. Now, remember the believer's authority. You have authority in this earth. So people say that if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. I say it's going to go right. But if you were to leave things to themselves, have you ever had a rent house or something and you left it empty for a period of time? What happens? You go back and there's spider webs and blah, blah, and is it called entropy?
Entropy.
And it starts getting yucky. It's better when there's life in it. Everything's better when there's life in it. So you can't just leave things. If you leave your boat, you just got a new boat. If you leave that boat out there and you just leave that cover on it and you decide you don't want to go for 2 or 3 years, when you go out there, it'll be a big cleanup, won't it? We've had boats. We left ours in the bay, and it's at the bottom of the bay. Anyway, that's another story. But praise the Lord. Yeah, mm-hmm. But if you leave things to themselves, they're like weeds. You're going to have to do something with weeds. Boy, we know a lot about weeds at our house. You have to cut them down, pull them out, but you have to replace them, listen to me, with seed. You got to replace them with something. We bought grass, and we threw it on top of some weeds, and the weeds came up all in between the grass, you know. What's grass called? Zoysia? Yeah. It's beautiful. It's like a golf course. But all these weeds came up, and so we go out there and pull some up, and I mow them, but that, of course, you know that doesn't work. But I notice that what we planted, the good grass, is overtaking those things now. It's rained on it, and it's starting to overtake. There's not as many now. But you're going to have to plant some seed. Where you're going to have to get the weed off your seed, and you're going to have to plant some seed where the weed was. So instead of just leaving it out there, well, it's never going to work. Well, I'm always going to be miserable. Well, Aunt Mary's never going to change. Well, you're just helping Aunt Mary not change. I know you've heard this so many times, but if ever we needed this, it's now. So God has already done his part. So you just have to do your part. He created a system and he set it in motion. And that plan is seed time and harvest. It works in everything in life. If you love, you'll be loved. If you want friends, be a friend. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to go sit in the corner and eat worms or whatever they do. Whatever. Isn't that what they say or something? Well, that's about what you're doing. But if you, and you know, people say, well, I go to that church, but they're not very friendly. Well, were you friendly?
Well, there you go. Oh, that's really good.
Anyway, seed time and harvest works on everything. It'll work on your finances, works on love, works on everything. Oral Roberts called it, you remember what Oral Roberts called it? Seed faith. Seed faith. This is the system that this world is working on. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. And it's not just in the natural. It's in the spiritual realm. And that spiritual realm is going to guide the natural realm. You are going to have the harvest that you are sowing with your mouth.
That's
as
right.
Surely as that, you're going to have the harvest you sow with your finances. And, oh yeah, thank you, Lord. If you sow the seed for finances, but your mouth is not lining up with your harvest, you're not going to be able to cut that. You're a farmer. What do they call the tool that cuts down the, a sickle? A combine. That's what I was looking for. That's what we're going to need, combines. So, Debbie's parents were farmers in Kansas, right? So, If you're going to reap the harvest, you're going to have to make your words line up with what you initially said over that seed. You can't say, well, I sowed into that thing the rest of them sowed into, and I didn't get a house. I didn't get anything. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Well, you're having what you say.
True.
I say some 30, 60, 100-fold return. You're going to get it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because just yesterday the Lord was telling me to raise my sights. You need to raise your sights up now. There's something bigger coming. Can I tell them that, Lord? He said, I dare you to. The Lord told me this, and you can take it if you want to. He said, there's something so big coming for us. And this is what he told me. Young lady, you better watch yourself and no gloating. And I said, yes, sir. So every day, along with my confessions, I'm saying, and Lord, pride comes before the fall. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. You get all the glory. You get all the glory. It's not how good we did something. It's not that it's, I'm confessing. In fact, I'm just saying what you say. So it's all you. So you might want to go to your prayer closet when you get home and say, now, Lord, I know something big's coming. And I'm not going to get all proud about it and go, look what we did. Uh-uh. I made a promise and a pledge that I would not do that. God gets the glory. Amen. Okay, let's finish this thing up. Praise the Lord. Now, so you're programming your spirit for success, but you're doing something else. The Bible says the angels hearken to the voice of his word. So when you're confessing his word, angelic forces pick that up and they begin to go. Hebrews 12, read Hebrews 12. You'll see there where all of the heaven is working with us. And so it says an innumerable company of angels. So they're at your command, but they're working as they hear the word. Okay? That's what they hearken to. But they're sent there for you. And then Holy Spirit also, he's diligently arranging our prosperity, our healing, our promises. He's in on it. Think about the fact that you said, God, I'm going to go. How long have y'all been here? 7 or 8 years? God, I want to go somewhere where I can be mentored and become who I'm supposed to come to. God had to take all of that and fit us all together. And see, me and Larry are like kin folks because, you know, we're cowboy and cowgirl stuff, you know. And so I just thought I'd throw that in. And besides that, all my boyfriend's last name were Wallace. And I love Larry, and he doesn't care. You can't embarrass him. He loves me. But think of all that had to work out to get us together. Yet God was in the arranging. Think about how everything had to work out for us to get together. I mean, it was pretty intricate how it all worked. I remember you showed up at a meeting, and I was like, Deb, who's that? Who's that girl? And she never left. And Rachel tried to follow me around the world, and I love her. But it's we all got together for purpose. Well, God's going to do that very same thing with you. He's gotten you together for purpose so that we can get this thing done and go home. The Haggies are somewhere doing some secret mission. I don't know where they are. And Diana said, Messiah is at the door. And I just believe that. I believe we're so close. I don't know how long the awakening will take. But however long it takes, I want to be right in the middle of all of it.
Yes.
And that's why I want to tell you the truth. And that's why I want to get you watching your confession. Go ahead and get a confession, buddy. Go ahead and be willing. And then they're going to make you mad a couple of times. But you'll go, no, you're right. You say, now, you don't want me to agree with that, do you? Now, I won't correct y'all. This is what I usually say to y'all. Well, some of you I will. Those of you that are in leadership, I will, and some of you that have allowed me to, but I'm not going to get in anybody's business. It's your life. You can do whatever you want to. But I say this. You are you? That's what Pastor John did to me. You are you? That works. But go ahead. I mean, like, you two could just go ahead and do it. And I think your child has done that to y'all a few times. Now, our children have been raised upright in there. And they will come out and say, now, you don't believe that, do you? You really going to be saying that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So get somebody to help you with that. Okay, we're going to close with this. I want to give you the five stages of biblical meditation. There's five stages. We'll go into a little teaching mode here just before we leave. We're early, so you can still beat all the other denominations to the restaurant. Okay. Now, the first stage, stage one, because you're going to want to meditate and do it right. The first, number one is called the still stage, S-T-I-L-L, the still stage. Psalm 46:11 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. So be still. So get still sometimes inside. You could go for a walk and be still, but you got to get in that place. Y'all know the place. You felt it many times over your life. You're like, I walk out to the gate and look at the stars at nighttime and I just get real still and I say, Papa, thank you. And then we just go, when you get in a gratitude, things start, that stillness will start flowing. Amen. It just starts flowing. I sense that even right now. So now, I don't know how to pronounce the brain parts, but I think medulla. So Deb and Ronnie, I'll get y'all to help me with these. That regulates bodily functions. So there's actually a part of your brain that will help you meditate. Okay. Number two, there's only 76 of these. We'll get through them real quick. There's five. Number two, imagination stage. Psalm 1, 2, and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he shall meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now this is the one I might have trouble with. Amygdala? Is that right? Okay. Dave got it, amygdala. Okay, so that's the job where you compare, the part that you compare new data. And so your imagination, you're comparing new data in your brain. Number three is the strategy stage. And of course, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from you. You'll meditate day and night. You're going to observe to do what's written there. You'll have good success. So this is what that means. Based on the truth I see, what should I do? Based on the truth that I see, what should I do? Now, that gets real easy. Let me just throw something at you. You're going out with your friends, and you got your $1,500 to pay your car payment, and they say, let's go play some poker. Now, based on what you see, you better go home. Now, I know that's real simple, but it's just true, right? Uh-huh. Based on what you see, based on what you know is the truth, you might want to just back off, right? It's pretty easy. So you need to know. Based on what I see in this word, I'm about to reap a harvest that is amazing. Okay, based on what I see. So I then will put my expectation on reaping that harvest. Mm-hmm. not losing. Based on what I see, you with me? Based on what I see, I'm going to have this. Now that expectation then rises up. What is biblical expectation? Hope. What does it say about hope? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So then you put your faith on it, which means you're going to say it. You're starting to believe, and then when you say it, you're going to believe. Listen, I need to tell you something. It's not the confession that gets the stuff, okay? Don't misunderstand this. That's part of it, because you can change an atmosphere in 8 seconds. That's part of it. Your command is part of it. It's a part of your spiritual authority. But the thing that makes the tool of faith work is that you're talking to your spirit, and your spirit becomes big in this thing, and then you have an authoritative command or declaration from your spirit, and the mountain will move. So it's not just, I believe I'm prosperous, I believe I'm prosperous, I believe I'm prosperous, I believe. It's not just that. That'll kind of help you. But what you're doing is you're dropping it from here to here.
Yeah.
You're not a parrot.
That's right. That's
or an echo.
Yeah. Okay.
When you're meditating, you're pondering, and then you're saying, well, Lord, you said the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no toil with it, so I'm not going to toil. I'm going to stand in the blessing. Or, Lord, you said that by your stripes I was healed. So if I was healed, then I am healed. That's meditation. Lord, you said we could do this. Lord, you said da-da-da. They said, I'm going to die. You said, I'm going to live. I choose you.
That's right.
I'm helping you meditate. That's as simple as it is. Now, you get alone, church. You get alone, and you start letting that mind roll. So you have to use words to fight thoughts.
Yes.
You can't fight thoughts with thoughts. You have to use words. Words fight thoughts. It will shut you down. Okay, we've done this 60 times probably, but there might be somebody new here. Close your eyes, and I want you in your mind, I want you to count to 10, but when I say your name, I want you to say your name out loud. Ready? Start counting to 10 in your mind. Don't say it out loud. Say your name.
Yeah.
What happened to your counting? Here's the good way to say it. I'll just help you. That's not my thought. Now, I know most of you are old hands at this, but some people need to know this. Somebody watching. That's not my thought. Words fight thoughts. And you might want to tell the satanic squatter to get out of your bathroom when you're combing your hair, because they come in there and try to load you down with thoughts. I see some of y'all are going, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. It happens in my bathroom just like it does in yours. Nobody's exempt. He comes and he tries to tell you a lie. And if you're just programmed, he can just leave one little monkey with you from now till the day you go home. And that one little monkey will be there just to help you go ahead and act out your flesh. This is good. I'm going to have to listen to this myself. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're almost done. Here's based on what I see, what should I do? Here's where you write out a plan for action. Your action plan should have 5 parts. Number one, a vision. I want to do and what I want to be. Number one, that's number one, a vision. What I want to do and what I want to be are really what God wants you to be. Number two, a theme. A concise or to the point expression of the vision for remembrance. So you need a picture to nail it down real easy. You know, you hear what I'm saying? It's a concise or to-the-point expression that you would use to keep that thing in line. There's certain things that we have. What are we doing? One of our expressions? Coming home. That's one of ours. Coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are going to come home to the Constitution.
Yeah.
See? Your loved ones that haven't gotten saved yet, they're coming home. People that belong here are coming home. People that are out there that are in the wrong places, which you don't have to be the judge of that. That's God's business. But you can just say, I pray that everybody gets in their places, that they all go home to where they're supposed to go and be where they're supposed to go. You don't go, now I think so-and-so's in the wrong place. No, 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 no. If the Lord led you to do that, but it would probably be kept a secret. It's not for you to go around telling people stuff like that. Okay, now, I'll get on with it. Number three, objectives. Goals to make your dreams come true. This is all under number three. Objectives. Number four, strategies. Steps to your objectives or purpose. What are you going to do to get to them? And number five, priorities. What do I focus on right now? The act of writing goals is proven to increase the likelihood of success by 1,000%. So if you'll write down what you want, you will increase by 1,000% of just, well, I'm believing God for a new refrigerator. Well, go put a picture of it on your old one. Mm-hmm. Or write it down. Write it down. Mm-hmm. I have gone back and looked through some of my journals, and almost everything I wrote down has come to pass. There's very few things left. So I'm going to write down some new ones. Okay. Now, I'm to number four. Okay. And that was the cerebral cortex on number three. Now, number four is action. That's the application stage. The action stage is where I do something every day toward my highest priority. Church, I could be as simple as you confessing. You could just be confessing the truth. And that's the frontal lobe, which is the decision maker. And number five is the Thanksgiving stage. Thanksgiving is the act of thanking God for your goals becoming reality. Why? Because according to Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's how you do it. You make your request to God. You believe you receive it. You put it in your heart. You speak it out your mouth. And then you thank God for it. Once you receive your healing and you did the act of receiving your healing, all you do is thank God for it. This is old school truth that we've known for many, many years. You think it still works. It's not going to change. It still works. Thank you, Lord, that I have that. Thank you, Lord, that I have that. Thank you for it, Lord. I have that. Thank you for the homegoing anointing on my life. You're not going home to heaven yet. But thank you that the coming home anointing is on us. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So, favors involved in all of this. As I just want to remind you one more time as we're closing. If you complain, you will remain. If you want to move ahead, you'll have to overcome complaining. And church, people complain sweetly. Well, you know, so-and-so, they left so-and-so out, and now we can't find it. That's complaining. Or sarcasm. Well, if you do so-and-so, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, no, and you're like, yeah, same thing. Oh, y'all didn't like that one too much. I can tell. Praise the Lord. All right. You received this today?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Church, you're about to reap the biggest harvest you've ever had in your life. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not totally just talking about the seed that we're sowing. I'm talking about all the seeds you've sown. I'm talking about this word that you've sown in your heart. Stand up, please. Thank you, Jesus, for all of the seeds that have been sown. There's seeds that have been sown, harvests that have been left that your family members never got. Pick them up and receive them in Jesus' name. There are people that have sowed seed that the harvest will. I'll take grandma's harvest. Because a lot of the people older than us, they were left with the poverty mentality thing and thought that was God. I can't even get that at all. I couldn't get it when I didn't know this stuff. But Thank you, Jesus.